The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hi, everyone. Judge Andrew Napolitano here for Judging Freedom. Today is Thursday, March 28th, 2024. We're pretending it's Friday. It's the end of the day. It's the end of the work week for many of us in the United States. The boys are here. It's time for the Intelligence Community Roundtable with Ray McGovern and Larry Johnson. My dear friends, thank you very much for accommodating this shortened week and joining us today on a Thursday afternoon. Larry, I'll start with you first. Why are the EU and the US so adamant about who committed the crimes on the Crocus-Contras concert and who did not commit the crimes at the Crocus concert?
It's an intelligence community covert action, a propaganda campaign. It's designed to lie. Think about this. No country in NATO, neither the United States, none of them have a single investigator, liaison officer on the ground in Russia with the Russian investigators. Yet, everybody is blessed with amazing clairvoyant powers that they can magically know exactly what evidence the Russians have, and they know that it clearly exonerates Ukraine. It's utter crap. It's a lie, and it's one of the most clumsy lies I've ever seen. Because instead of the professional approach would be, you know, we don't know who did it, but we're going to work with the Russians to help investigate because we passed information that claimed that there was going to be a terrorist attack, so we want to get to the bottom of this too. Now, that's not what they're doing. This entire operation is designed to try to attack and weaken Putin. That's what it's all about. And the Brits and Americans didn't give a damn how many Russians they killed in the process of trying to do that.
Ray, in the real world, where there are normal relations, where the State Department and the Russian foreign ministry speak with each other, where the president doesn't call of the United States doesn't call the president of Russia insulting names and says he's got to be removed from power. In that real world, wouldn't we at least have offered FBI investigators and CIA on the ground to help get to the bottom of this? Unless, of course, we were trying to mask our own involvement.
Well, in the ordinary course of events, we would do that. We would do precisely that. But as Larry says, this is not the ordinary course of events. When Bortnikov, the head of the KGB successor for internal, was the FBI equivalent, when he says casually in a corridor conversation that the US, UK, Ukraine were involved, he wouldn't say that without Putin's blessing. I believe that indicates they have pretty good evidence now that they're waiting. They're waiting to make even more concrete and show to the world what happened. That's what I think. I think Larry is 100% correct.
Larry, the person Ray is speaking of who's the head of the FSB. This is not like a Chris Ray who makes speeches all over the place and appears on television all the time. This is a guy that never appears in public, and yet he told Russia Today exactly what Ray just said. A, isn't that profound? B, doesn't that mean there's evidence? C, doesn't that mean that Putin authorized him to say this?
Yeah, I would say yes to all of the above. Look, what's going on here is this has been stage managed by the West. Notice now the line that's coming out of the White House and out of the State Department and out of the front pages of the New York Times and, sad to say, out of Cy Hirsch's latest Substack. The story that's being pushed is, oh, we're the United States. We told the Russians what was going to happen, and they dropped the ball. They ignored this intelligence. They didn't. Their security services suck. They didn't do anything to protect the Russian people. Vladimir Putin he's just a bad president. Okay, that's the storyline that's being put out. Let's look at what was exactly said. On March 7th, the U.S. Embassy released to a public warning, and it said very simply, stay away from public gatherings, particularly concert halls, for the next 48 hours. At no point during that announcement or in the succeeding days did the State Department, the Biden administration, the FBI, the CIA, or anybody come out and say, okay, guys, our 48 hours was wrong, but we still believe the threat is viable, so stay away from public places. Didn't say that at all, because they had an obligation to say that if they still believed the threat was viable. This 48-hour window, I think, was a complete fabrication, because they knew when it was going to take place. They knew it wasn't going to take place then. And therefore, they get to come back and say, see, we told you so. But they didn't tell him so. They didn't call the Russian ambassador into State Department to brief him on it. So this, I am furious over this, because this is a complete manipulation of facts, and it's based upon lies.
Ray, if they manipulated facts, as Larry has argued, and it appears they did, what are they trying to cover up? Their awareness of the fact that Ukraine intelligence services, which are wholly owned subsidiaries of MI6 and CIA, knew about it, and therefore their bosses knew about it.
Yeah, and that they were running the attackers.
Running the attackers.
That's right. I mean, these four Tajiks are not going to do this stuff all by themselves. That's why Putin keeps insisting, look, we know who the people who perpetrated this was, but we don't know on whose behalf, who was supporting them, who was arming them, and so forth. So, you know, there is a logical explanation, in my view, as to why this 48 hours thing was set in blood, really. There was a great big concert planned for the 9th, I believe. So 2 days, within 48 hours, it was right. Taylor Swift of Russia, okay? And everyone was expected to be there, including some high muckety mucks, as my Irish grandmother would say. All right, so that seemed to be the key time that this thing would happen. Now, we know that security was reinforced to the point that there was a SRV person for every three other people at that, and so it was called off, apparently. Now, there's suggestions that everyone kind of said, oh, well, we don't have to worry that anymore, because the whole point of this was to do something to disrupt the Russian elections, which didn't take place until 13th, 14th, and 15th. Got it? Okay. So you can see where Putin himself might have said 3 days before the election, well, you know, this is a kind of provocation. I don't know why the U.S. did this. And then, lo and behold, on the 22nd, you get the attacks. Now, did the Ukrainians go ahead without further instructions? I don't know. But let's face it, the Ukrainians, if the Tajiki did this without further instructions, I strongly doubt that. At least they were not called off, it seems to me. Or maybe it was sort of momentum that couldn't be stopped. But that's the way I reconstruct it. And that's why the 48 hours seem to be really key, because this key concert, Taylor Swift, Russian brand, was going to take place on the 9th.
Here's President Putin just 2 days ago, who reinforces precisely what Ray just articulated.
We know that the crimes were committed by radical Islamists. whose ideology the Islamic world itself has been fighting for centuries. We also see that the US, through various channels, is trying to convince its satellites and other parts of the world that, according to their intelligence, there is no trace of Kiev in the Moscow terrorist attack, that the bloody terrorist attack was committed by followers of Islam, members of the ISIS organization banned in Russia. We know by whose hands this atrocity against Russia and its people was committed. We are interested in who ordered it.
We are interested in who ordered it. The other translation is, we are interested in who the customer was, Larry.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean
is it conceivable, between the two of you, there's a lifetime of experience in American intel? And I mean that with deference and respect, I'm not commenting on anybody's age. Two lifetimes. two professional lifetimes. Yeah. Is it conceivable that the mentality of the Jack Devine side of these things is such that they didn't give a damn about the slaughter of 140 innocents, mainly young people? Ray?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I'm afraid the answer to that is, Judge, not very much. I mean, when you're on orders, you know, and you have the capability to blow up the Nord Stream pipeline, for God's sake, and you say, yes, sir, I can do that. What's to prevent them from allowing Tajikis, responsive to Ukrainians, trained in Turkey under our auspices, what's to prevent them and say, well, it's not going to be tied to us, or we'll deny it, right? We'll blame the Tajikis. You know, it's very cynical, but these guys, you know, don't really care much about the effects of their actions, just that they can do, and they will do, and whoa, look what we did. That's the mentality.
Is there any significance to Tajikistan, Larry? Is there any significance to ISIS-K? That the State Department came out with within 55 minutes. It wasn't Ukraine. It was ISIS-K before they had any evidence whatsoever.
Yeah. No, I mean, they were just, I think the decision had been made in advance. That was going to be the group that committed it. And they knew that the way the Ukrainians arranged this is they had a cutout. And that cutout then was directed to recruit these four characters.
What do you mean by cutout?
Somebody that wasn't directly affiliated with Ukraine. So the head of the IS Khorasan in Afghanistan, online preacher, you know, was directed to reach out to these guys and recruited them and convinced them to operate. But you try to put distance between yourself, but there's still always a trail that you can follow. Particularly the fact that they reportedly were paid with cryptocurrency. You know, people think cryptocurrency is, secret and you can hide everything. That means you don't understand blockchain. Blockchain, every transaction is recorded. So it's just a matter of walking back to see who did what. So this was clearly an operation. The United States started distancing itself from this operation 2 days before the attack. We know that because of the article that appeared in the Financial Times, and then the tweet that was sent out by this OSI defender 3:30 in the morning on the 22nd when the bomb went off. Both of the articles carried the message, oh, U.S. officials are really concerned about these unauthorized brazen attacks by Ukraine. Okay, so the United States knew it was coming, and they were trying to distance themselves, and we're outraged. Just, you know, it's like that scene from Casablanca. Police chief is gambling in the casino. I am outraged, and here's your winnings, sir. So same thing.
Shocked. Ray, do you think that the West has recognized the utter failure of its efforts to use Ukraine as a battering ram with which to drive President Putin from office and has now resorted to asymmetric warfare, which includes the slaughter of innocent civilians inside Russia?
I believe that this incident would suggest that, but it also can be looked at sui generis in and of itself. Things are going really badly in Ukraine, to be sure, for the Ukrainians, the UK, the US, and NATO. Yet there was a Russian election coming up, and where all kinds of provocations, actually strikes within Russia before the campaign ended, and then this golden opportunity to show how defenseless Russia was for people who want to kill 140 young people, okay? So I read that in that context. Now, what's Putin going to do now? Well, I believe he'll assemble all the evidence and he'll bring it to the court of public opinion at the UN, probably. And I don't know what kind of reception he'll get. I don't think he's going to go off half-cocked because the Russians have already won in Ukraine. And there's one other thing I would add, and that is he spoke yesterday to airmen, to pilots, and he said, these F-16s, they're nuclear capable. So if they come into the fight, they're gone. They're going to be destroyed. And the airfields from which they fly, they're going to be destroyed too. And that includes airfields of friendly to Ukraine neighbors. So the die is cast, and I would add one little thing here. When Biden was told by Zelensky, who came to this meeting in the Far East, says, oh, we lost Bakhmut. We lost Bakhmut. Biden immediately, without consulting any advisors, says, all right, well, now we're going to send in the F-16s. All right? Said it the same day, okay? That was what, May of last year or July? It was a year ago, okay? Now, they don't make any sense. As Putin says here, we got pilots that can destroy those things, and we've already begun working on destroying their airfields, says Putin yesterday. So, you know, this thing is going to escalate unless the U.S. realizes that the game is up. But Putin is not going to strike any foreign capitals until he's so provoked. Well, he's going to strike airfields first, okay? And he's not going to use nuclear weapons. And that is a canard. That is a false flag raising the use of low-yield nuclear weapons because Russians don't have to do that. The U.S. may feel it has to do that.
Here's Dr. Gilbert Doctorow. I don't know if you guys know him. Mearsheimer says though Mearsheimer has clashed with him, he's a well-respected student of Russia, PhD professor, American, who lives in Brussels. Chris, play 15 and 16, where Professor Doctorow attempts to connect the dots, including, as he calls her, Madame Nuland.
We note that several related facts. Madame Nuland, Victoria Nuland, was fired on the 5th of March. It's highly interesting that this coincidence. I and others have spoken of her connection with the German generals plotting a strike on the Kerch Bridge using their cruise missiles. However, it is more likely that she was fired because the mission that she had supervised to attack Russia, a terrorist attack using Islamic extremists on the 8th of March, was no longer operable. They are working on expanding further the information leads they have now on the connections with ISIS in Istanbul, on the timing of the American warning that to Russia that a terrorist attack could take place. Let's remember, that was on the 7th of March. Mm-hmm. That's to say 2 days after Victoria Nuland was fired and 1 day before the planned execution of the terrorist attack in Moscow. So the bits and pieces, the dots are falling into place. I repeat that Mr. Bortnikov would never dare to say what he said yesterday without the blessing of Mr. Putin, and Mr. Putin has always been a very cautious player.
Larry, does this event, whoever caused it, whoever paid for it, whoever orchestrated it, put pressure on Putin to be more aggressive in the execution of the war in Ukraine?
No, but listen, I think Doctorow's wrong. I mean, he is engaged with wild speculation with respect to Vicky Nuland. Oh, she was fired? Sorry, I don't buy it, because she already had a job lined up, number one. And I've heard people make this analysis that, oh, she missed out on the deputy secretary job. So, you know, that's why, you know, they didn't fire her for that. And she didn't, getting that job was not her goal. She had the second most powerful job in State Department after Secretary of State as Undersecretary for Political Affairs. I think she saw the disaster coming and wanted to get out before it happened, because she could get blamed for it. I think that's another plausible scenario here. But that doesn't discredit what's been said about Bortnikov and his comments to the public. I mean, that's an objective fact. We all saw him say it. And he wouldn't say that without having the approval of Putin. And then, frankly, they wanted to get the word out that they know there was U.S. involvement, there was U.K. involvement. But this, you know, if the CIA planned this, Vicky Nuland's the last person they're going to talk to about it.
Would the event itself put pressure on Putin to be more aggressive, to level buildings in Kyiv, to go farther west, Larry?
No. I mean, look at what Russia's been happening on the ground. And again, this notion, oh, they killed civilians. What's been going on since 2014? The Ukrainians have been killing civilians, and since 2022, they've been killing civilians in Russia with U.S., British, French, and German weapons. So this attack was in Moscow. Yeah, it was high profile. But the fact of the matter is, the act of killing civilians by the West, that's been going on for 2 years. And the Russians are pursuing their military strategy accordingly. I think the only thing that's changed is that now Russia is not going to avoid hitting NATO command centers that are anywhere inside Ukraine. They just hit one the other day in Chasiv Yar.
Ray, the Kremlin yesterday, we all talk about, because we're all students of Orwell, the significance of words and terminology. The Kremlin yesterday changed what it has been calling the military events in Ukraine from a special military operation to a war. Is that significant from the Russian perspective?
It is. It comes from the Kremlin spokesman.
Peskov.
What's his name?
Peskov,
yeah. Okay. Comes directly from his mouth, so it's completely authorized. This is a difference. It's not a distinction without a difference. It's exactly how the Russians look at it now. So with respect to the question as to whether Putin will feel more pressure to do more in Ukraine, the answer I would give is yes. The more operative question is, will he succumb to that pressure? The answer I would give to that is no. I think Gil Doctorow, who I know quite well, is quite right in saying that Putin is a very measured person. Okay. Now, will he strike out at NATO airfields in NATO countries? No. Will he strike out at fields capable of accommodating F-16 in Ukraine? Yes, and he has already begun doing that. Okay. So we'll see the decision centers bombed with more regularity. Putin has the upper hand. As I say, it's really, I can't imagine why our leaders, that the neophytes advising Biden, can't see that the fat lady should begin to sing. Now, the last thing I want to say is this.
Wait a minute. The fat lady's up at Columbia University now. I'm sorry.
You said it, I did.
I couldn't resist. I knew what you were both thinking.
Yeah, you're welcome to that. Now, let me just say this, that the fat, well, Victoria Nuland on the 31st of January said in an impromptu press conference in the middle of the street in Kiev, Mr. Putin is in for some nasty surprises on the battlefield. You watch, okay? Now, that was January 31st. She was talking to Budanov, the head of Ukrainian military intelligence at the time, as well as Zelensky and the others. And it's not a stretch to think that she would be very close in touch with the Jack Devines of this era, and that she was kind of quite in league with Bortnikov.
Bortnikov.
The guy who was running it from the inside, as I believe. So,
right.
So I don't think that. I think your key, Judge, is the 55 minutes. I mean, it speaks volumes. How can they know in 55 minutes it was in Ukraine and it was ISIS? Give me a break.
Larry, what will happen if President Macron of France is foolish enough to send 2,000 troops to Ukraine, combat troops? Won't they be taken out as soon as the Russians can do so?
He'll learn the lesson that Napoleon learned. Don't invade Russia. Don't send French troops to Russia because they won't make it out. And you know, the more I think about this, I think it's going to be unlikely for him to do so, because if he does that, he's going to really screw up the Olympics this summer. And I think the last thing he wants to do is throw a wrench into the Olympics.
The Olympics are in Paris this summer.
Yeah. So to make that a disaster. But if he does it, Putin has made it very clear. We'll kill him. And if they're involved militarily in any form or fashion. In fact, they've already killed French soldiers, French mercenaries. And as Ray was pointing out, even before the terrorist attack on the 22nd, the Russian military had stepped up its attacks on power producing plants. So they're taking those out now. So Kharkiv has been in the dark now for about 2 weeks, and lights aren't coming back on.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. No matter what we talk about, it's a pleasure. I welcome all of your insight all the time, whether we all agree on every detail or not. And Larry, thank you for what you said about Psy. I mean, when you sent me a paragraph of what Psy wrote, I thought I was misreading it. I had to read it three times to make sure that you had it right, that I read it right, that there wasn't a negative missing. But even somebody like Psy, who was the courageous and brilliant enough to expose the Nord Stream pipeline, can sometimes fall for this stuff.
Yeah, he's getting fed by intelligence sources, the same ones that were feeding it to the New York Times. And it's not just an odd coincidence that Psy's article comes out same time the New York Times article comes out with the same message. You know, when you see that, you know that there's information operation going on.
Do you know him, Ray?
I do. He's a good friend. I would just simply say this, that my dad, the lawyer, had a frivolous phrase that he invented, the age of statutory senility. Okay. He quit about 7 boards of directors when he was 70. That's what he said with the age. You see, the rest of you should quit too if you're over 70.
You know, the viewers should know your father was not just a lawyer. Your father was a brilliant professor at Fordham Law School who taught many of us, even those of us that didn't attend Fordham Law School, because we read his works while we were studying at other law schools. So you're being modest. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Go ahead.
It's the age of statutory senility, so nobody thinks. I still think it's 70. It's now 5 years from where I am. It's age 90. Okay, so please listen to me for the next 5 years. If you
got it, at least that long. Gentlemen, happy Easter to both of you and to your families. Thank you very much for your time. Thanks for pretending. This is Holy Thursday. Thanks for pretending it's a Friday.
Thanks a lot. Have all a good Easter.
Thank you. And a happy Easter to everyone for watching. It's been a challenging and rewarding week because so many of you have tuned in. Back to the old routine next week. Happy Easter. Justin Napolitano for Judging Freedom.